Well, while you're standing, why don't we commit some of our time, all of our time to the Lord, hey? Father, thank you, thank you. We're here again and we love you so much and we just love the people you created. Thank you for this family you put us in. Thank you for adopting us as your kids. Lord, I pray today as I speak, literally you would just take over, that words would not be my words, but would be coming from you, and that you would anoint ears to hear and hearts to receive, that your word may do its work in us and transform us more and more into the image of Jesus. And I pray this in his wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can be seated. So last Sunday we started the first part of this series, and really I have so much more than what I can fit in 2 weeks, but we'll cover off one more aspect at least today, and that is what we're to seek first. So we had a look in Matthew chapter 6, 33, where Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so last week we looked at his righteousness and how boldness can come into our lives when we know we are in right standing with God. When we know that we're cleansed and we're forgiven and we allow Jesus into those areas of our life. I have very cute eyes looking at me. Slightly distracting with the cuteness. I love it so much. Oh man. Okay, so we were looking at seeking his righteousness. I want to look at the first part of that, seek first the kingdom of God. And this is a big, glorious topic because we have a big, glorious God. And he's so unlimited. But I just want to cover a few aspects. And, you know, the Lord willing, maybe in over the next month or so, we can have a look at some more. But a few aspects of seeking first the kingdom of God. So I want you to turn, actually, if anyone's in Matthew 6, we're going to read that one first. Matthew chapter 6, 31 to 33. And we'll have a look at that together first, and then I want to take us to Romans. So it says, verse 31 of Matthew 6, therefore do not worry, this is Jesus speaking, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Okay, so there's a promise here. If we're seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else we need will be given to us. We don't have to seek the things we need. We seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the things we need seek us and find us. And that's pretty awesome. All right, go to Romans chapter 14. This one I've been pondering all week and just getting so much out of it. Romans 14, we're just going to read verse 17, but I'm going to tell you the context. So Paul is talking about there's some people who are struggling because some are eating meat and some aren't. Some are eating things and they think, oh, that's unclean, and others don't care and are able to eat everything. And there's all this sort of conflict, and Paul is bringing out such a simplicity. I just love it so much. And he's saying, listen, if you believe that all things are clean, to you they are. It's okay. But don't judge your brother or sister who isn't at that point yet, who thinks that that's no good and they don't want to eat that. That's fine too. Like, it's not actually about what we're putting in our mouths in that sense. That's not what the kingdom of God is about. God's not up there stressing about what food you ate. Okay, in that sense, he's saying don't make things bigger than they need to be. Here's what it all boils down to. And in verse 17, it says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So this is really, really cool. I've been thinking, pondering, letting the Holy Spirit just begin to bring some of these truths home to me. Now, we're to seek first the kingdom of God. And it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So if we're operating in the way things operate in the kingdom of God, then we should be operating through righteousness, in peace, and full of joy. So if you go to physically walk into your bank, you will find that every bank has their own operating system. They all have things that the way they do it. You go into a different nation and you find that everybody has their own way of doing things in that country that's different to another. When I first stepped off the plane and then out of the airport into India, they warn you about culture shock, but they don't tell you it's going to start as soon as you get out of the airport. And all I remember was noise pollution, and then pollution too. But noise pollution, it was insane because everybody was honking their horns. Now, over here, you rarely hear someone honk your horn, their horn, and it's like, oh, what's going on? You kind of check, you know, did I cut someone off, or is there something to be aware of, or whatever. But it's not like we always hear in car horns. But over there, whoever has the loudest horn has the right of way. There's no give way signs. It's give way to the loudest horn. So we were in a little tiny rickshaw one day and he had this massive horn attached to the front. Aluga! And we had right away in our little rickshaw. This big truck is like waiting for us. I'm like, dude, you need to upgrade your horn. But I'm telling you, they do things very differently over there. We say, do you want that? Yes. Do you say to them, would you like that? Yes. It's strange. They have a different way of doing things. Well, this is what he's saying. The kingdom of God has a completely different way of doing things than the kingdom of this world. So the kingdom of this world, they have a way of doing things. Problem equals stress about problem until you fix problem. Kingdom of God, problem, laugh about problem until he fixes problem. Ah, I like that one so much better. Jesus is saying there is something that you are to be seeking, and that is, now that I belong to the King of Kings and I am a citizen of heaven, how does it operate in heaven? Because we are no longer citizens of the earth. So even though you may even have a passport, the truth is you are now a citizen of heaven. And you get to operate the way things operate in heaven, which is really cool. You know, God never has a stressful day. He never has a stressful day. He's not up there going, oh, wow. I don't know what we're going to do. We're going to call an all-night prayer meeting, get all the angels in here immediately. We're going to figure out this problem on earth. No, he wrote the end from the beginning. Like, he knows everything. And there's nothing he can't fix. Everything is able to be restored through him. So we're to seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and it says that the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, we're going to go and have a look at a true account that happened to the disciples and Jesus. And we can see the disciples operating in the system of the world and Jesus operating in the system of the kingdom of God and the complete difference. And we're going to do that because I believe God wants to bring our mentality out of the system of the world and into his operating system, his way of doing and being right. And so it's exciting. All right, who brought their Bibles? Let me see your Bible. I want the evidence. Oh, there it is. Look at that. Thank you. That was awesome. There's a big Bible up the back there. Okay, so I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, if you would, please. And chapter 4. So Mark 4. Go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark. Okay, Mark chapter 4. If you've got it, say, got it.
Got it.
Great. Okay. And we're going to read from verse 35. So on the same day, so what had happened before this was Jesus had fed way over 5,000 people with a few loaves and fish. So they'd just seen an incredible miracle where the kingdom of God was operating. Because how many know the kingdom of God doesn't operate in lack? Did you ever think about that? God has unlimited supply. So that was really cool. All right, so on that same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, Jesus, was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we're perishing?" Then he arose and said, "What are we going to do?" Oh, sorry, that was my version. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? And how is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So Jesus has the word from his Father. Remember, he said, "I only do what I see the Father doing, and I only say what I hear the Father saying." So the first thing is, Jesus didn't live in this realm. Because where was the Father? Was he on the earth? He's where? In heaven. I think we all know that, but our Father who art in heaven. So Jesus would go into the heavenly realm and see his Father and see what he was up to and hear what he was instructing. And he heard the instruction. So he says to the disciples, "We're going to go over to the other side. That's our next mission. We're going to the other side." And then he rests in that word. That is what God said. So that is what is going to be done. And he falls asleep. Now, I don't know whether Jesus had an amazing dream because, you know, the ups and the downs from the storm. So, woo, this is fun. I don't know, but he was asleep. The disciples, on the other hand, I can just imagine a lot of them are seasoned fishermen. They know how to read the skies. I can imagine. They're getting in the boat. It all looks good. Jesus falls asleep. He's at rest. He's already said, "We're going to go over to the other side." That was the word of the Lord. And the disciples look at one another and go, "Oh, man. Oh, look out that cloud formation." And Peter goes, "Oh, we know exactly what that means. We are in for one crazy storm." And then then they look at each other, and the clouds are building and building, the atmosphere is changing, and then the thunder and the lightning begin, and they go, oh, I knew it, this is going to be a really bad one. I don't know how we're going to get to the other side. This is ridiculous. This storm is just, this could take us out if we're not careful. Everybody get into your positions, man the decks, like we gotta brace ourselves here. Then the rain starts, the torrents, the wind, the waves start coming in, and the waves are already beginning to just pour into the boat, and water is filling, and they know, they've been in this scenario, they know enough to know we're in really, really big trouble. And this whole time, Jesus is asleep, resting in the word of the Lord. And the disciples are so full of despair, they eventually remember, though, who's in their boat. And they go and wake him up. I mean, that's just a phenomenal amount of peace. When not even a thunderstorm can wake you up. Not even the water lapping over your toes is waking you up. And they wake up Jesus. They are stressed out to the point they actually believe they are going to die. Because they said, don't you care, we're perishing. As far as they were concerned, they were already sunk to the bottom of the ocean. They were done for. And Jesus gets up. I love this. And he rebuked the wind. So, oh man, I was having a good dream. That's enough, wind. Okay, waves, peace, shh, be still. That's the disciples. To the other side. Now clouds disperse. We're not having this. We are going to be obedient to the word of the Lord. I trust the word of the Lord. We're going across. And how about you and you just make sure we're heading in the right direction. The rest of us are going to join Jesus and have a sleep. Hey, there was peace and rest available for everyone in that word of the Lord. But only Jesus entered into it. He's trying to show them, you do not have to be affected by the things in this world the way the world are affected by the things around them. There is a much higher way of living. And it all comes down to our trust in the word of the Lord. Okay, in Luke 17, 20-21, there were Pharisees asking Jesus a question about the kingdom of God. It says this, now when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is within you. They are looking for an external kingdom where they can say, oh yes, look, there's the limousines with the flags, Jesus is arriving in town. They want an observation. They want to say, oh yes, and there's the castle where the king lives. And Jesus says, no, you're not going to be like, oh, look over there, that's the kingdom of God. Or look, there's a new, you know, thing being built over here, that's the kingdom of God. He said, no, the kingdom of God is within you. Because that is where the King dwells. He is within us. The kingdom of God is within you. So, and the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. All right, I want to have a look at, actually, I'll come back to that. So let's go to Matthew 13. Many of you will be familiar with this. This is one of the most famous parables that Jesus told, and it's the parable of the sower. So Matthew chapter 13, and we're going to start in verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay. In the same account in Mark, they asked Jesus to explain this parable. And he did explain it. But he starts off saying this. And he said to them, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" So this parable is the key to understanding all the parables of Jesus. And I believe it's a big key to understanding how the kingdom of God works. And Jesus is about to explain it to them. But I want to read the start of his explanation back there in Matthew 13. So verse 18 to 19, Jesus says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his backyard." Is that what it says? Who's following along? Where was the seed sown? Where?
In his heart.
In her heart. So the word of God comes, the word of the kingdom comes, and it lands in our heart. And that is where it ultimately is going to produce from. So he said, the word of the kingdom here, when it's not understood, the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Well, in Mark, he also explains that there's three different gospels that cover this. This is how important it was. Jesus said, "Do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables?" And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. And then in Luke's gospel, he explains it this way: the sower sows the word. Okay, so when we get a hold of the word of God, not just reading it as if it's any other book, but when that comes alive in us, that word, when we get that and it's sown in our heart, we can produce much fruit in God's kingdom. Everything in the kingdom of God is centered around the sowing of his word into our hearts. Because Jesus only did what he heard his father, said what he heard his father say and did what he heard his father do, saw his father do. I'll get it right. So the hearing of the word, even Jesus followed that. And that is how he operated in the kingdom of God. So we get the word of the kingdom within us. So what did the disciples need when they saw that storm coming in that boat? They needed to be rooted and grounded in that word that was given to them. Jesus said, "Let us go over to the other side." And they were shaken because they weren't allowing that word to be rooted in their hearts and to produce the fruits of righteousness and peace and joy. So when we take that word and we put it in our heart, we can see it come to pass. Because as we look through this, and I'll just quickly go through some of the other ones, like these likewise are those sown on the stony ground, who when they hear the word immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So what he's saying, really, our job is simple. We just have to guard the word, because the issue is not with the seed. The seed had the power to produce, every seed that was sown had the power to produce. The difference to the outcome was what soil it landed in. So the seed is always perfect. The Bible says that his word is the incorruptible seed. That means nothing can eat away at it, destroy it, change its power, reverse its effect. It's the incorruptible seed of God's word. When we get that and we put it in good soil of faith in our hearts, it will produce even up to 100-fold in our life. Okay. I want to finish with another maybe one or two scriptures. Let's just do this one. So turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. We're going to look at 4 to 9. Many of you might be familiar with this one as well. I want to just bring it into the context of the kingdom of God and how this can be our lifestyle. Jeremy was reading the passage this morning about not putting our trust in chariots or horses, but putting our trust in the name of the Lord. And this is how we get to that point. So we're going to go Philippians chapter 4, and let's look at verse 4 together. Rejoice in the Lord always. Do you know joy is a powerful weapon? It is the way the kingdom of God operates. Joy. And what happens is Satan will come to steal your joy so that you become discouraged and then you let go of your hope in the word. But we can operate in the kingdom, which is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Joy is so amazing. I want to just say this. This word says rejoice. Re. Do it again. Get the joy again. Rejoice. So, why could Jesus have peace in the middle of a storm? Why was his joy unaffected? Because he was living planted in the word of the Lord, living in the kingdom realm that is not affected by the externals of this world, because the kingdom is within you. So that doesn't affect what's in here. What's in here affects what's out there. And so this joy, if there's one thing I can encourage you in, it's to let the joy of the Lord begin to bubble up again. It says, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And with joy, you draw water out of the wells of salvation. So something really cool is to do a Psalm 2 and be like our Father. It said, why did the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing against the Lord and against his anointed? They had come together, they had plotted, they had schemed. We see this all the time. Then it says this, he who sits in the heavens shall laugh. Do you really think our God is worried about their schemes and their plans? Do you think he's worried what they're saying behind closed doors in high levels? He has a good laugh. And then it says, oh, the Lord will hold them in derision. I looked up that word derision, and you know what's really interesting? It means stammering lips. It's like they're unable to talk. They can't be coherent. They try and say stuff, and it comes out all muddled. Oh, they don't make sense. Yeah. Look, it says, then the Lord says, yet I have set my king on the holy hill of Zion. He's so not worried. It's like, oh, yeah, have a go. That's great. That's all right. That's enough. My king. He laughs. He who sits in the heavens laughs. So God is finding the plans of the enemy hilarious. And we need to enter into that same joy. When you get a bill land in your mailbox or in your inbox, and you go, I don't know how we are paying that. Oh, I'm going to enter into the kingdom realm. I'm going to enter into joy. I'm going to look at that bill and I'm just going to laugh. Because it's already sorted. Because the scripture we started with was Matthew 6:33. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all these things will be added to you. So that bill is paid in the kingdom realm. When you're seeking first what he's doing, oh, you can laugh. You can laugh at your bills. You can laugh at pain. You can laugh when a family member says, oh, this and I'm never going to talk to you again. Not wait till they finish the conversation, but when you're privately, you can laugh. Devil, nice try. But the Bible tells me that I can have amazing relationships through the blood of Jesus. So I'm going to believe what God says. He said I could go to the other side, so no storm from the enemy is going to stop me. I'm going to the other side. When we have that word, the kingdom is joy. And when you find yourself, we probably all need a little joyometer, you know? And let's just have a little look. If your joy is like full beep, peeking out, you're fully in kingdom realm. If your joy is like hanging off the end of the thing and it's barely moving, you're in earth realm, okay? Because when you're in his realm, your joy is full. Your joy is full. Because you're living in this, not that. And I just, the way Jesus, you know, peace, be still. I mean, probably when he's saying it, there's an enormous wave about to crash on them again. And like, can you imagine? Hey, waves normally come that way, but this one just settled down. We can have joy and peace in the kingdom. Peace. All the things that try and make us stress. And actually, I only have one thing to seek first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. So I can stay in peace. And everything can rage around. It doesn't matter because that's not where I live. I'm from a different country. I'm from heaven. I'm a citizen of heaven. And we don't have unconquerable storms up there. Do you know in heaven, there's no storms. There's no anxiety. There's no stress and worry. And that's where we can live from too. All right, I'm going to finish reading this scripture. Rejoice always. I got a long way, didn't I? Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious sometimes. No, be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. Who can help me with this one? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So how do we enter into peace? Turn off your own understanding. So this says the peace of God surpasses all understanding. And it will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. This peace is powerful. Okay, I need pretty much, I think I'm going to pick on the whole front row. So, Melody, you're going to come up here in the middle. I'm almost done, I promise. All right. Can you come stand up here? And then I'm going to get Jeremy, James, Taya, and I'm going to use you two as well. Come on up. can you surround her, please? Everybody surround her. Come around the back as well. That's it. Surround, surround. Oh, awesome job. Okay. All right. But turn the other way. No, you stay in front. That's it. Okay. So it says the peace of God will mount guard around your heart and mind. So when all the anxieties, you're having way too much fun with this, when all the anxieties are trying to get in here, peace is trying to take me out. Far out. Serious. Look at this. Can I just say, don't mess with the mama. My knees are starting to have fellowship over here. Oh, all right. The peace of God mounts guard around your heart and mind. So why can she be unaffected? Because she's not alone. The peace of God surrounds just got a feeling. You know, that whole prophetic edge of something's going on behind me. Right. Anyway, don't entirely trust. Yeah, I should have picked the second row. All good. My illustration, I think, is made. Thank you. Can we give them all a hand for their beautiful theatrics? That was amazing. I can get that book off my out of my face now, Trish, far out. She was gonna take me out. I wasn't gonna go near. Woo! But I reckon that's how you look at anxiety, don't you? And it starts feeling anxious when it gets around you. It goes, far out, I'm gonna leave this Trish lady alone. She's gonna take me out. Yes, we will, because we are part of the kingdom of God, and we can say to our storms, I rebuke you. Stop it. Peace be still. So it says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And then there's the finally. So I'll make this my finally as well. And don't all of you go, finally. Finally, brethren. There we go, brethren. Whatever things are true. Okay. So, here's a good point with this. Where do we get our source of truth from? The newspaper? I hope not. This alone is our source of truth. So whatever things are true. So you might have a sickness that comes to attack your body. The truth is, the blood of Jesus was already shed for that sickness to be taken care of. So, I am going to think about what is true. And I'm going to deny it the right to come and attack me. So, absolutely not. This glorious body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And it's bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus, a price so high I can't even fathom it. But this is private property, and sickness is trespassing. And I'm about to get the hound dogs of peace and joy out, and they're going to see you out the door because you don't belong here. I don't live in this realm. I live in the heavenly kingdom realm. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Wow. How many like the sound of that? Hey, why don't we stand to our feet? Because that was my finally. So you finally can stand. Have a stretch. And maybe, Jess, would you mind getting on the keys or someone or the other? Oh, thank you. I should have just said, Jeremy, can you come to the keys? We love having you back, Jeremy. Hey? It's awesome. You ready to get free of worry today? Anxiety? Who wants to get rid of that stuff? Are you going to have a laugh like God? Into some joy? I am. I am ready. So I'm going to pray. And look, anything you need, we just have to do one thing. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all the other stuff will be added. How did that bill get paid? I don't know. I just, this money came in, that money, and before I knew it, it just happened. When did I start feeling better? I don't know. I just realized one day I didn't have all those aches and pains anymore. Ah, you see, it's rest. Jesus slept in the boat because even though the circumstances looked different to what the word was, the one asleep in the boat has the power to change circumstances. All right, I'm going to pray. Let's close our eyes. Enter into receiving mode, however that is for you. Maybe you want to put your hands out and just receive from the Lord. Maybe you just want to worship him, stand in reverence, whatever. Even if you want to sit, it doesn't matter. But just go into a receiving mode to receive from the Lord. Father, I pray for every one of your people today. Lord, help us to take the word, the seed of the word of the kingdom, and let it be planted deep in our hearts, that it may produce a hundredfold in our lives. Father, we choose the path of peace and joy and righteousness, and we're not going to lean on our own understanding anymore. We trust you. You've more than got it, Lord. So right now, I just want you in this room, just release whatever you need to release to the Lord. Just let it go. Have a moment like the disciples where you stand in awe and wonder of Jesus again. Not the bigness of the storm, but the bigness of Jesus. How big and powerful and wonderful and amazing he is. And he is in your boat. He is with you always, even to the end of the age. Never leave you or forsake you. Father, we enter in. Let us be kingdom people that live as citizens of heaven, where we do things differently. Thank you for changing our mindsets today, Lord. heart. Let strongholds be broken down today in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Just while your eyes are closed and heads are bowed across this place, I want to give an opportunity for people to receive Jesus. The Bible says, as many as believed in him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. When you believe on Jesus, you can enter into a new family, the family of God. What does it mean to believe on Jesus? Well, it means to believe on what he did for you. The Bible says that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us, came as the perfect sacrifice, only one worthy, only one pure to take the sin of all the world, our sin, our mistakes. He took it all on the cross and he said, "It is finished." There wasn't a sin that had been committed or will be committed that he hasn't fully paid the price for. Forgiveness is complete. It's found in Jesus. And today he says, like what he said to his disciples of old, "Will you follow me?" The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. You can enter into today. So just as heads are bowed in this place, I want you to say, "Anita, that's me." If that resonates with you, just put your hand up because I would love to pray with you today. Put your hand up, "Anita, that's me." Count me into that prayer. Thank you. You can see those hands. Is anyone else? "Anita, that's me." Thank you. I want the forgiveness. I want this relationship with God. I want to believe on Jesus. You're watching online. I'm talking to you. If your heart's pounding and you know I'm talking to you, it's because Jesus is calling you. And you can enter into this today too. Is there anyone else? If you haven't raised your hand and you want to be included, put your hand up today. Thank you. All right, we're going to say a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the conviction in your heart. I choose to follow Jesus. But this prayer is just a simple guide into a new life. So why don't you say this after me? Heavenly Father, I believe that you sent your only Son Jesus to die in my place and to take my sin that I could be forgiven. Wash me clean. Forgive me of my sins. I believe in Jesus. Amen." That's how simple it is. The Bible says that when you believe, you become part of the family of God. Can we just give a shout in this place? Because some people's eternity just got changed. Just then. Some of you just went from on the way to hell to on the way to heaven. Praise God. That is worth celebrating. He's so good. And hey, if you want to join us in this I Disciple, oh, we're learning some good stuff today, I tell you. It's going to equip you and set you up to go and make disciples and help other people on their journey. It's going to be awesome. And, I'll either have any other announcements. That's it. All right, let me pray. I'm going to bless you. So, Father, I bless your people. I bless them in their health. I bless them in their work. I bless them in their homes. I bless them in their finances. Father, in their minds, that they would have clear thoughts. Father, that they would be able to have the mind of Christ. Lord, I bless the work of their hands, their workplaces, everywhere the sole of their foot shall tread this week. Let them enter in to all the goodness of God, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.